Well, let's return now to this centennial broadcast recorded in 1994, 100 years after Jack Benny was born. Part two.
Michigan Avenue is beautiful any time of year, isn't it, Mary?
It certainly is, Jack. Say, you seem to be making black footprints in the snow. Where have you been?
Black footprints? Oh, that's just a little coal dust. I'll explain later. By the way, did I tell you I brought Professor LeBlanc, my violin teacher, along? I didn't want to miss any of my lessons.
Professor LeBlanc, that's funny. I didn't see him on the train.
No, you see, Mary, he wasn't riding in our car.
But I didn't see him in the dining car either.
Professor LeBlanc keeps pretty much to himself.
It's a nice day for a walk, isn't it? I thought we just might stroll north to the river and back to the hotel.
Oh, look, Mary, isn't that Don Wilson across the street?
Don? Where?
Right there, see him? He's carrying a cat under each arm.
Jack, that's the Art Institute of Chicago.
Oh, it's these glasses. I must get them changed.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Miss Livingston.
Well, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis. Are you out to see the sights, too?
Yes, I just came back from Buckingham Fountain.
What do you think of it, kid?
It was okay, but I don't see what all the fuss is about.
Well, you should come here sometime in the summer after they turn on the water.
Oh. Water?
Well, yes, Dennis, it's a spectacular display. It's one of the largest fountains in the world. Each day it dispenses millions of gallons.
Hiya, Jackson. Hiya, Livy. Hi, Kit.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Who's dispensing millions of gallons?
We were just talking about Buckingham Fountain and all the water it uses.
Oh, water.
Don't knock water, Phil. You ought to try it sometime.
Jack, could we walk over to Saks Fifth Avenue on State Street?
Saks Fifth Avenue ain't on State Street, Mary. It's over on North Michigan Avenue.
This is the first time you've been to Chicago in years, Phil. How do you know where Saks Fifth Avenue is?
Mary, if there's a fifth in it, Phil knows where to find it. He's right, though. Saks is near the old water tower.
Jackson, will you quit talking about water? The mere sound of the word I find nauseating.
Sorry, Phil.
Well, I gotta be running along. I'll see y'all later.
So long, Phil. Nauseating. Wonder who taught him that word.
Hello, Mary, Jack, Dennis.
Well, Don, I see you're out for a walk, too.
Yes, Mary, I thought I'd walk over to the river and stroll along the bank.
I enjoy walking along the river, too, Don.
Which bank do you prefer, Jack?
Northern Trust, First National, Continental. He's not particular.
Oh, stop.
You know, the air here in Chicago seems fresher and cleaner than in the air in Los Angeles.
I think the air is more healthful here, Don.
I do, too. I saw Mr. Benny's violin case in the lobby this afternoon, and it was 6 times its normal size.
That wasn't my violin case, Dennis. It was a bass fiddle case. I'm using it to... Oh, my goodness. I gotta get back to the hotel right away. Do you mind, Mary?
That's okay, Jack. I can walk with Don and Dennis.
I'll see you later. I've gotta run. Here's my room. Well, one advantage of not having a door on my room, I don't have to fumble for a key. I just hope I'm not too late. Now, if I can just get this bass fiddle case open. Professor LeBlanc, you can come out now.
Oh, Monsieur Benny, how long have you been inside this case? It was a horrible experience. I was nearly asphyxiated.
I'm sorry, Professor. It was thoughtless of me to leave you in there so long. I should have punched some holes in the case so you could breathe.
Monsieur Benny, what are we doing in this coal mine? I cannot believe this.
not in a coal mine, Professor. We're in Chicago, and this is my hotel room.
Ah, that I can believe.
I am terribly sorry you were cooped up for so long in this bass fiddle case.
Had I known you had this in mind, I never would have agreed to come.
I'll tell you what. On the return trip, I'll ride in the case, and you can have my seat.
What I must go through to make a living.
But you see, Professor, I saved the price of a round-trip ticket, and with the money I saved, I can pay you for more violin lessons.
Speaking of which, Monsieur Benny, you owe me for the last two lessons.
I'll settle up with you today, Professor.
Locked inside the bass fiddle case for 24 hours, I had no food, no water.
Would you like me to have room service send something up or down?
No, thank you, Monsieur Benny. I never eat before your lesson. Now, may we please get the lesson over with?
Of course, Professor. What would you like me to play? Love and Bloom? Souvenir? Horace Staccato?
It really doesn't matter. With you, they all sound the same.
I'll warm up with this.
Sacre bleu, you have forgotten everything I've ever tried to teach you.
It's my violin, Professor. You see, it's so sensitive to changes in climate. It misses the Los Angeles smog.
It is not your violin which is a problem, Monsieur Benny. Give me the violin. I will show you how it should sound.
Here you are, Professor. I must admit, Professor, that was a beautiful tone.
Now, you will please play the same number.
I will not.
Very well, very well. Please practice the exercise I give you.
All right, Professor.
One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and... Oh, no, Monsieur Benny. You're holding the bow like a hacksaw. I'm afraid you will cut the violin in half. Perhaps it would be better if he did. Continue the exercise, please.
All right, Professor.
Pay attention to your bowing. You sound like a rooster crowing. While my head is badly aching, noise pollution you are making. No, Monsieur Benny, stop.
What's wrong, Professor?
The violin is a musical instrument. In your hands, it becomes an instrument of torture. Please, the exercise. As a fiddler, you are flopping. You sound like an L train stopping.
Stop.
I can take no more. The lesson is over.
I'm sorry, Professor. I'll try to do better tomorrow.
Please, Monsieur Benny, accept this payment.
But I'm supposed to pay you.
Take it, please. In return, you must promise never to tell anyone that you have ever studied the violin with me.
Well, of course.
Goodbye, but... Monsieur Benny.
Goodbye, Professor LeBlanc. Mary suggested the two of us go to dinner tonight. I'll have time to take a shower before I meet her. I'd better go up to the lobby and buy a newspaper to build a fire down here to turn on the sprinkler system. It's inconvenient, but what the heck, for $5 a night. A lot of activity in the lobby. I wonder if there's a...
Oh, Jack, I've been looking for you.
Oh, hello, Don. What is it?
It's about that singing commercial for next week. I wrote it on the train, and I'd like you to hear it.
Well, since we don't have the Sportman Quartet with us, that'll have to wait till we get back to Los Angeles.
I have a quartet, Jack.
You do? Where?
They're standing right behind me.
Well, move aside so I can see them, will you?
Why, sure, Jack.
Well... Two girls and two fellas.
The girls are in the show in the Boulevard Room here at the Stevens Hotel. You've heard of the Boulevard, dears.
Yes, of course. And who are the fellas?
Oh, they just came into the lobby to get warm.
Oh, fine. Well, it's nice to meet you, kids. Don, what song are you going to use for the commercial?
It's a brand new song written by Les Brown, the band leader. It's called Sentimental Journey. Hit it, kids.
LSMFT, gonna smoke a lucky strike, gonna smoke a cigarette that's ducky. It's a brand you're certain to like. Save yourself a lot of aggravation. Smoke a lucky strike today. Settle back and have some relaxation, puffing all your troubles away. Flavor, Lucky's have the mildest flavor. It's a smoke that you can savor. If you wonder why they taste so clean, it's nicotine.
Now, Don!
Enjoyment from your smoking. Take a tip from F.E. Boom. If you're in Seattle or Hoboken, buy a pack of Lucky's real soon. LSMFT.
Well, Don, that isn't exactly what I wanted.
Well, wait, Jack. The second course is about you.
It is.
Sunday night, tune in your local station. That's the time, as we all know. Lucky's Drive presents to all the nation Mr. Benny's radio show. Always keep some Lucky's in your pocket. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Fine tobacco?
Out of all the cities on the market,
Ciggies,
only Lucky's sponsor our jet.
That is true.
Benny hardly ever spends a penny.
What?
Has a bankroll big as Benny. It's so round, so firm, so fully packed, and that's so fat.
Don!
You can help to keep this money growing. Tell your friends to spread the word.
Spread the word.
Every time you have a Lucky going, you'll be keeping Benny employed.
No, Don, this is definitely not what I want.
But wait, Jack, there's a big finish.
I don't want to hear the finish. It's finished.
Lucky Strike, I gotta have a Lucky.
It isn't what I want.
That's my brand for 40 years.
Girls, fellas.
Made from just the finest stuff to back in.
Fellas, girls.
To hear that auction.
Don, make them stop.
And Speedy Riggs will tell you.
Wait a minute.
LSLS.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute! Don, I told you I wanted a commercial with taste, with class. That was just awful.
But Jack, I really...
Listen. I want you to go back to your room, and don't you come out until you've written a singing commercial I can be proud of.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for your help, kids.
Mm-hmm.
that magazine stand.
Papa Jack Benny. Papa Jack Benny.
He's supposed to be working for Philip Morris. What's he doing on the Lucky Strike program? Over here, son. I'm Jack Benny.
There's a telephone call for you, Mr. Benny. You can take it right over there in booth number 4.
Thank you, son. I wonder who could be calling me here. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Rochester.
Rochester? Is anything wrong?
Your next-door neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman, are here.
Oh?
They heard you were out of town, and they came over to repossess some of their property.
Repossess some property? What are you talking about?
There's a bunch of things you borrowed from them over the years and never returned.
That's ridiculous. What'd I ever borrow from the Ronald Colemans? A cup of sugar?
Well, it's all here on an itemized list. There's a lawnmower you borrowed in the spring of 1939, the bathroom scale from January 1941, the Mixmaster from July 1938, the set of sterling silver dinnerware from September 1935. Shall I continue?
The Colemans are removing these things from my house?
It's all their property, boss. They showed me a bill of sale for everything, complete with serial numbers.
All right, go on. What else is on the list?
Well, there's a sun lamp from May 1942, a washing machine from November 1939.
A washing machine? How do they expect me to do their laundry without a washing machine?
There's several more items on the list, boss. You want me to read the rest?
No, don't bother. I'll look at the list when I get home. Just stick it on the refrigerator.
Well, they're taking that, too. You borrowed that last week.
Oh, yes. Well, what else is going on? How are the Valentines selling?
Not too well, boss.
Did you put a sign out front like I asked you to?
I sure did.
Maybe we need a bigger sign.
The one we got now covers the whole front of the house. I had to cut a hole in it for the front door.
Well, put a floodlight on it tonight and call me if anything happens. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What is it?
I'm afraid I won't be able to call you.
Why not?
They're taking the telephone. You borrowed that in 1936.
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Gee, I better hurry up and take my shower. My sprinkle. I have to meet Mary for dinner in an hour.
I hope you have a good appetite, Jack.
Yes, I do. Where would you like to go for dinner, Mary?
I have a place all picked out. You'll like it. It's right in this block.
Good, good. Gosh, look at that skyscraper up ahead.
Yeah, it must be 35 stories tall.
There sure is a lot of glass. Yeah, with a bottle of Windex and a roll of paper towels, a fella could really make a fortune. I wonder who...
Forget it, Jack. Anyway, you're afraid of heights.
I know, but just for doing the insides alone.
Here's the restaurant.
Oh, here, let me get the door. This certainly is an elegant restaurant, Mary. It's a...
Surprise!
What?
Happy birthday, Jack.
Put her there, Jackson. Congratulations.
Happy birthday, Mr. Benny.
Don, Phil, Dennis, what are you doing here?
Why, we're treating you to dinner for your birthday.
Yeah, this whole trip was Mary's idea, but we all went along with it.
You're treating me to dinner? Well, isn't that nice?
We would have bought you breakfast, too, but we couldn't find any 3-day-old cimarron rolls.
Let me seat you, Jack. You're right here at the head of the table, the place of honor.
Well,
happy birthday, Mr. Benny.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, Mr. Benny.
Well, thank you.
Many happy returns, Mr. Benny.
Thank you.
We love you, Mr. Benny.
Who are all these people?
They're some of your fans.
My fans? But what are they doing here?
Why, they came to celebrate your birthday, Jack.
But how did they know?
Word gets around.
They know it's my birthday? They know I'm not 39 anymore and they still love me? Well, what do you know?
Jack... Your fans will still love you on your 100th birthday.
You know, gang, this is the best birthday I ever had.
Jack will be back in just a moment. This radio reenactment was written by Ken Alexander as a tribute to the many talented writers who contributed to the Jack Benny program. Our program was directed by Jim Sobczak and produced by Tom Turpik and Chuck Shaden. Sound effects were by Lynn Conga and Mike Wiersma, with additional sound support by Marlene Wiersma. Recording engineers were Rick Kerfolo and Jim Zarebski. Script transcription was provided by Janet Hushaw. Final music was done by Dick Bruni, and our cast featured Sue Baird, Sally Dusky, Dick Starkey, and Herb Twury as the quartet. We heard Ed Gilliland as Frank Nelson, Pat Apita as the telephone operator, Karen Skillman as Gertrude Gearshift, and Rosemary Zwick as Mabel Flapsaddle. Herb Twury played the part of Senior Cy, with Norm Weissman as the tout, Jerome Steffens as Mr. Kitzel, and Bob Lumoff was heard as Ed the Bakery Man, Elliot Melesio as the train announcer, and Charles Beavis as Ed the Vault Guard. We heard Joseph Shotova as Rochester and Jed Skillman as Phil Harris, with Ken Alexander as Professor LeBlanc and Harry Volkman as Dennis Day. Mary Livingston was played by Joan Benny, and Jack Benny was played by John Siebert. Yours truly, Paul Whitbread, is yours truly, Don Wilson, speaking from the Radio Hall of Fame at the Broadcast of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. And now, here's Jack again.
We're a little late, so good night, folks. Good night, Joni.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, that was a lot of fun hearing that. As I say, I hadn't heard it since we did it in 1994, but the audience was great. They get a lot of laughter and applause, and it was just marvelous.